Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised.
The only way to get rid of split ends is to cut your hair.
That is true. So, like, I know we all see the deep conditioners that says, oh, we'll fix your split ends. Wrong. It's false.
It's false.
Untrue.
It will for a little bit, but then it's just kind of like gluing them back together and they're going to refray anyway. You just really need to cut it. And the little bulbs, too. Let me add this. I get little like white bulbs on the end of my hair. I don't get split ends. It's weird.
So I've heard people be like, yeah, I don't get split ends, but I get bulbs.
The bulbs are split ends. Like that's still damaged ends. So like when we say cut your split ends, we mean like those little bulbs too, because they will keep growing up your hair and it will keep breaking.
So once the hair is split, it's just going to keep going up the strand. And really the only way to make it stop is to just cut it off.
Where it's split at.
I just had to cut 2 inches off of my hair.
Because you told me how bad I needed a haircut.
So we work right beside each other. And all the time, I'll just look over and be like, Ashley, get a haircut, woman.
Because, you know, us hairdressers, we're like mechanics. Like, mechanics are always the last to get their own oil changed. We're the last one. We're terrible about maintaining our own hair.
I color it. It's fine. Kristen puts up with me.
We just let my gray hairs fly.
I have a lot now. Like, I have a lot now. They're even over here.
On your temple?
Yes. And I'll ask Kristen, we'll be like, is it in the back now? And she's like, let me do it. Like, oh, no. It's fine.
If you're trying to grow your hair out, regular trims, like, it's a wide sale that it's going to make your hair grow faster or whatever. What it actually does is prevents it from splitting so that hair can continue to grow nice and healthy and long.
And yes, your hair grows from your scalp, but if it's breaking on your ends, then it's going to, every time it grows out of the scalp, you're just going to lose as much on your ends because it's just breaking off.
Right.
So cut your hair.
Today, we're going to talk about missing Nico Lisi. Now, Nico was only 18 years old when he went missing from Addison, New York on September 30th, 2011. Now, I know you're sitting here thinking this is a Southern true crime podcast. Why are we talking about a young man from New York? He's sitting to find out. Nico's mom, Monica, has really been his champion throughout this case. She's worked really hard to keep Nico in the spotlight. And she really kind of remembers Nico as a kid that was like funny and goofy and loved to play sports. As he got into his teen years, he started getting in a little bit of trouble. Now, Nico did eventually receive an ODD diagnosis, which is oppositional defiance disorder, which pretty much just boiled down to Nico was not going to follow many rules. This was like even beyond,
yeah,
like just normal teenage rebellion, you know? This was,
if someone told him not to do something, he would specifically do it just because they told him.
Oh, and probably right in front of their
friends. Right, because he just didn't really respect authority figures.
Yes, and it wasn't something I don't think that he could really help. It was just, he was going to do what he wanted to do. If you know anybody with ODD, you know what this means. It's not like they're like a like a vicious person or anything. It's just like, you're not going to tell them what to do.
Right. And they're not like doing it to be malicious.
During his teenage years and with his diagnosis of ODD and what that meant for how his mind worked, Nico ended up landing himself in some trouble. At one point, he got a robbery charge, which I believe was probably like vandalism or something like that, because he ended up, they threw rocks at some kind of like store window, broke it.
That makes me wonder too, because it was like a burglary charge. So I wonder if it was closed. And like they threw the rock and broke it whenever the business was closed. And that's why they saw it as like a robbery charge instead of just like
being there.
Right. And so, and like, because you would think it'd be just like a vandalism. But
like, that's what in my mind that I was like, why is that not just vandalism? Why does this keep coming in?
My mind immediately went to that business must have been closed and it was at nighttime.
Yeah.
And that's why they would have like, which in. They might have just been throwing the rock just to be like, you know, teenagers and throwing the rock and not actually be breaking in. But that was like a bigger charge that would have a bigger penalty.
Yeah.
And since it was closed, they could do that. That's, I don't know.
Nico had spent, I believe it was like 8 months is what they called a county year in jail. Nico was no stranger to the justice system. So right before he went missing, Nico ended up caught up in a statutory rape charge where he had been involved when he was still a minor with a girl who was a minor. And there were several other boys named in this, you know, arrest that she had been having relations with because she apparently was under the age of consent. Her parents had filed these charges.
Right.
But then one of the boys, it had been proven that, like, they had never been together. I don't know if this even would have stuck if Nico, you know, had been around to face these charges. That's a very tangled web.
Yeah, that is. That's a very complicated, complex situation.
Yes, it is. And I don't know a whole lot about that situation other than, you know, Nico was one of these guys named.
Right.
And he was going to have to, you know, go to court over this, basically. And again, Nico's no stranger to court. But here's the thing about his mom, Monica, through all this. She will hold her kids accountable. She's going to say, yeah, you screwed up and there's some consequences and we're going to face them. Okay. She's not one of these moms that's in denial or sugarcoats anything. She said, yep, you did it. Let's face the music.
Her kids were so close in age that she really had teenage stuff going on with all of them. So she really knew how to take it in stride.
Yeah, well, and then she also had a very small baby daughter at this
point. So she was like, you know, let's take this with grace. Let's just, we'll figure this out.
And at this point, Nico's 18.
Right.
He's got to start navigating this for himself,
you know?
Like, he's got to start putting his big boy pants on, basically. The thing is that I see this pattern in Nico's life where, yes, he got in trouble, but he would always come back to his mom, to his family, and face these consequences with them. You know what I mean? Which is very weird to me that he's just disappeared without a trace.
Right, because normally he would go to them for guidance or at least to talk about it, because it's like they were close enough that even if he wasn't like, hey, what do? He'll be like, hey, this is what I did.
It didn't seem to me like he was ashamed to admit, like, oh yeah, I messed up.
Right.
This is not good, you know? So on September 30th of 2011, Monica receives a phone call from her brother. So this is Nico's uncle. And again, this is a very close-knit family. These kids are with all their family in New York very often. And Monica's brother says, hey, Nico showed up at my house with Robbie Knight. Now, Monica thinks this is weird. Everybody else thinks this is weird because Robbie is not even Nico's friend.
And his mom would know that too. My mom can tell you who I did not like in high school.
Yeah. So Nico and Robbie know each other because Robbie is Nico's brother, his older brother's friend. Robbie and Nico's brother were friends through high school. And like Monica says, she didn't really, it wasn't that she had like any specific instance to not like Robbie, but you know, moms get that feeling. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really like you hanging around with this kid.
And Nico was only like a year and a month younger, like 13 months younger than his brother.
Right.
So they were close enough. Right. And they were close enough in age that they would kind of know some of the same people and have stuff in common with some of the same people. But it doesn't sound like Nico especially liked Robbie back then.
Well, here's what Monica told me, that they were like oil and water.
Right.
They just didn't mix well. So I just thought probably two strong personalities.
Right.
Kind of butted heads a little bit. But she had never known Robbie and Nico to hang out together. Other than, you know, when he was at, like, the house with the brother
right. or whatever.
So this kid, she was kind of like, with Robbie? Why is Nico with Robbie? Well, her brother goes on to say, yeah, the boys say that they're going to go camping in Buffalo because they met some girls online. Now, this is the end of September.
Right.
It's New York State.
Yeah.
It is cold. This is not camping weather.
Were they experienced campers? Like that?
Nico was. I don't know about Robbie, but Nico was. The boys take off from there and they're in a truck. In an 04 gray GMC Canyon that the boys tell Nico's uncle, oh, well, we borrowed it from Robbie's grandparents. So Monica starts trying to get a hold of Nico, like, I don't know what you are up to, child, but I'm fitting to find out. You know what I mean? So she's calling him. He's not answering. She's texting him. He's not answering. Eventually, she texts him, and she's like, hey, I know you were by the house today. What all did you get? Because shoes are gone.
Well, and especially if he's like, yeah, we're going camping in Buffalo. Right. She's like, what did you take from me? Do you have it?
Exactly.
Like, what's happening?
Exactly. And so around 11 p.m., she just gets a reply from Nico's phone that says, close, duh. And she just thinks, all right, you little smart ass.
Right.
Like, I will deal with you tomorrow. I've got to go to bed. I got to work in the morning. I got to get, like, the baby's in bed. Like, I can't.
Like, there's no telling what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm just, all right.
Whatever you're doing, I hope that you don't, you know, end up in jail. Maybe I'll deal with you tomorrow, basically.
Right.
So the next day, Monica's at work in her beauty shop. She's also a hairdresser.
I love it.
Hey, girl, hey. And one of the customers is like, hey, you hear about that truck that was stolen right down the street? And Monica's like,
nope.
No, you know? And so she's cutting this lady's hair, and she's like, well, it's in the paper. And Monica's like, well, do you have the paper? And the lady says, no, but I'll send my husband to go get it. So this lady's husband goes, and he gets the paper, and he brings it back. And Monica's sitting there reading about this truck that has been stolen, like, a couple nights ago or whatever. And she's like, oh, shit. Right? These boys have done this. She knows. Pit in her stomach. She's like, damn it, Nico. And of course, you're with freaking Robbie. So Monica's like, oh, shit. Robbie and Nico have stolen this truck.
Yeah, she's like, they're up to no good. And they're saying they're going camping in Buffalo, like something.
Right.
Something
this is not on. Adding up. And so Monica starts trying to get in touch with Robbie's grandparents, which is where Robbie lives in New York with his grandparents. And eventually she gets on the phone with Robbie's grandma. And she's like, hey, where's the boys? And she's like, oh, don't worry about it. I took Robbie up to a cabin to hang out with Nico the other night. And Monica's like, what? What cabin? My mom's cabin?
Right, like where?
Like, what cabin are we talking about? And this didn't make any sense because Nico had been everywhere. Like, he'd been at grandma's house, he'd been at his aunt's house, and then eventually at his uncle's house, and then he had Robbie. So what was going on, basically?
Right.
You know? And the grandma's like, yeah, don't worry, no problem, like, the boys are fine. And then Monica's like, well, do y'all have a truck that the boys are in? And grandma's like, no, we don't own a truck. So now Monica's really like, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, like, what's going on?
This ain't good, right? She goes full mama bear mode, right? She starts, hey, get. She has his daddy trying to text and call him. She has his brothers, his sisters, aunt, uncle, grandma. Everybody is trying to get a hold of Nico at this
point. Right.
Because they're like, whatever you're about to do,
stop,
come back home. Please, let's think about it.
I'm sure, honestly, some of this, and this is just speculation, but I would say some of this is, we've seen this pattern before.
Right. Like, oh no. Yeah, it's about to go down.
Basically. Right.
Like, oh shit.
Stop him before it gets too bad.
Escalates, basically. Right. At this point, you know, he's barely replying to anybody. He's pretty much MIA. So that's another thing that's weird. Is he's not answering anything. Nobody. Not answering. Can't get a hold of Nico. Monica calls the police. It was a Friday night. They tell her they can't do anything till Monday. They don't give her the whole wait 48 hours song and dance. They don't say any of that. They just say, well, there's not an investigator available until Monday.
And this isn't the 1970s. This is
2011.
Right. Did they just not have the police force? Do we know? Is there an excuse for this? No, but still, what was their excuse?
Here's my theory. Is they, you know, start being like, okay, details, you know. Well, he's 18. Okay, well, you know, he can be missing if he wants
to. Oh, and he's been in trouble.
Oh, well, what's his name? Nico Lisi.
Yeah.
Oh, well, look right here. He's got a charge on him. He's probably just running.
We're not going to call in the on-call detective.
Right. Like, I'm not going to bother him with this. He'll get it on Monday. He'll probably be back by then anyway. You know, and just going to appease the family by saying, hey, he'll be back on Monday. You know, we'll get to it then. So basically.
And they probably figured that he'll be back by Monday.
Yeah, exactly. The police are thinking, oh, he's out on a joyride.
Right.
He'll be back by Monday, right? And so later that evening, Nico's grandmother calls. Now, according to everybody, grandma was Nico's person.
Okay.
They were tight. If he was going to answer anybody, it was going to be grandma.
Okay.
So grandma calls and someone answered. She wasn't sure if it was Nico or not. And said, hey, I can't talk right now. I'm going to call you back. And hung up the phone. So, you know, then the family is like, okay. And blows up his phone again.
Right. Like, even if this wasn't him saying this, somebody has
his phone.
Right.
So then Monica called.
Do we know what kind of a phone it was?
I don't. I don't know what kind of phone. I mean, it could have very well been like an iPhone or something.
Right.
I don't know.
I'm just wondering how much of that they would have. Stored.
Well, we'll get there.
Okay.
So Monica calls Robbie's grandmother again, and things start to get a little weird, let's just say. As if they weren't already.
Right.
Robbie's grandmother informs Monica that Robbie has shown up at his dad's house in Michigan. Romulus, Michigan.
How far is that from New York where they are?
It's a good little poke. So they are over, like, run across the Pennsylvania line. This is very rural New York State.
Okay.
We're not talking New York City. We're not talking upstate New York. We're talking very rural, farm country, New York, right? Over to Romulus, Michigan, which is over by the lakes.
Right. Okay.
So several hours drive. This is a good little poke.
Not somewhere you just show up.
No. And he's not been living with his dad. He's been living with his grandparents. Monica's like, well, give me the number to Robbie's dad's house. I want to talk to Robbie. And she's like, well, you know, his dad's not really too happy that he just showed up out of nowhere. So
even more reason for me to talk to him.
Hello. So grandma hemhaws around about that. And she's like, well, you know, he was mad because he just came home from work and there was Robbie laying on his couch asleep, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, well, about that.
Yeah. Where is Nico?
Right.
Is what she's saying. And so Robbie's grandma says, well, Nico held a gun to Robbie's head, stole his phone, his clothes, and his last $7, and took off in the truck. But dropped Robbie off at his dad's house. But nobody saw Nico. After hearing this whole story about Nico, you know, holding a gun to Robbie's head and such.
They called the police, right?
No. No. That's exactly what Monica asked. Like, did you call the police? Did you make her police? No. We didn't call the police. And she's like, okay, well, if Nico has Robbie's phone, what's Robbie's phone number?
Right.
So I can call it. And Grandma's like, oh, well, we're going to have that phone disconnected anyway.
Yeah, but I want it before you do.
Exactly. So she's like, okay, gives her the number. Monica hangs up immediately with her and calls this number. It's already disconnected.
Of course.
After that, Monica is panicking. Monica gets called down to the police station to ID some pictures. These pictures are of Robbie and Nico on the 30th at various stores around town. I think it was like a Wegmans was one, like grocery store in New York. And she's like, yeah, that's them, you know? Where did they go from here? And the police are like, not sure.
Do they have the truck on surveillance or just the boys?
Just the boys as far as that. And while she's down there at the police station, one of the detectives says, hey, do you know how to pull his phone records? And Monica's like, well, no. So he's like, here's how you do it. So he shows her all of that on the computer and they start getting logged into Nico's account, which Nico's account was actually on her mom's plan. Like, because they all had, like, family plans, you know, back in 2011, the family plan was a fake thing.
Family share plan.
Yes.
$20 line.
So Nico was on grandma's, okay? And so they had to, like, call grandma, get all that login information, yada, 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 yada. So Nico's phone records show contact with someone in Franklin, Tennessee.
Up near Nashville.
Yes. Right out suburb of Nashville. Now, Nico had attended high school for his part of his junior year, like a little, like less than a whole, like a full year in Franklin for his junior year. Okay. So Nico did know people in Franklin, Tennessee.
Right. He was a teenager. He made friends there because there was social media at that time, too. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's another weird thing. Nico's Facebook is deactivated.
Do we know, did he do that? What? Do we know anything about that?
I got a sense that there were some speculation that Robbie may have deactivated Nico's Facebook.
From his phone, I assume?
I'm not sure.
Because we don't even know where Nico's phone is.
Well, and apparently Nico was very loosey-goosey with, like, his social media password.
Okay.
So it wasn't, like, a foreign concept to Monica that, like, they would have been driving down the road, say Nico's driving. He's like, hey, man. Log on to my Facebook.
Right.
Here's the password. Go message this person and say yada, yada, yada.
Right. It just wasn't a huge deal to him.
No. That kind of privacy wasn't important to Nico because there was no consequence to it. You know what I mean? Facebook is gone. He like completely deactivated. Like not that he just quit posting on it. It's down. But Nico had also gotten in trouble in Franklin. When he decided not to show up for school, he was actually living with one of his in-laws at the time. So I think what is his, like, step-grandparents or, like, step-aunt, they were all in Franklin. And so they were kind of, like, raising him as a little community. He went down there as kind of, like, an idea to, like, get him away from the crowd. And he just came back home abruptly out of nowhere, called his mom and was like, hey, I'm at the airport. Come get me. Said he just didn't like the rules there.
I mean,
and listen, hey, if you grew up in the Bible Belt, you know there's a lot of rules around here.
Right, and I don't necessarily know that that means he had issues with anyone there. Maybe he just didn't have friends and he wasn't getting into the same shenanigans, so he was bored.
I think he was bored and he just, and I wouldn't. With his ODD diagnosis and everything, I would not put it past him that if he got a little money, he just probably bought his plane ticket right. And like, I'm out of here.
I agree. I don't think it was a malicious thing. I think
he was just done with Tennessee. Right. But anyway, so that's how Nico knew people in Franklin. So if he is on this joyride in this truck,
that could be where he's
apparently
going.
He's headed to Franklin, because there are over 36 calls made to this one number in Franklin. So he's planning something. And he's updating this person about the trip, right? So Monica sees on this little map where there's pings that go from New York to Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, all the way down to Franklin, Tennessee. Monica receives Nico's driver's license in the mail, and it has a little note with it that says, hey, found this on the street in like the town over from where they live. Thought you might need it. And they mailed it back to his address. Now, the police apparently don't think this is weird at all. And I mean, listen, it could just be a coincidence. They were out having fun and he dropped his license.
That could go so many ways. That's hard.
And we don't know if there's any return.
No. That's so hard, because that really could go anyway.
That really could just be a good Samaritan.
So it could be somebody throwing it out of the car to get rid of ID. Or it could just be Nico dropped it.
Right. I mean, that could go really either way.
So.
And that might be why he's on this journey. Well, if you're in a stolen truck, I'm sure you don't care if you have a license.
Oh, but, no, because it doesn't matter.
Right. But he might not have even realized that, because what if he like smoked cigarettes or something? He might not have even realized that he didn't have it with him and could have genuinely dropped it.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of those things where it's like either really significant or it's not at all significant. The police went to the route of this is not at all significant. So Nico's stepdad has had enough. So he called Robbie's grandmother and says, I need the number for Robbie's dad's house. And I need it now. And the grandma still hems and haws around for a little bit. And he's like, no, no, no. Give it to me. Like, I need this number. So she says, okay. She gives him a fake number the first time.
Oh, of course she does.
So he calls her back and he's like, cut the shit.
I'm not playing with you.
I'm trying to find my kid. Like, give me the number to your son's house now. This time she does. And so he calls, and Robbie's dad gets on the phone and basically just repeats the same, like, nobody saw Nico. He dropped Robbie off here. I was at work or whatever.
I don't know.
And keeps repeating, my boys were here all weekend. Now, Nico's stepdad is like, I never asked where your kids were all weekend. I asked where my kid was. After that call, Monica, the Buttons are not happy, right?
Right.
Monica is not satisfied with this. So, come to find out, Robbie has been interviewed by the Michigan police. Now, when the Michigan police are talking to Robbie, apparently, Robbie has some sort of mental breakdown.
Just right there in interrogation, whole ass, just mental breakdown, just loses it.
Now, sister, I don't have any details on all of this, okay? But what I do know is that they take him in for like a full hospital psych eval. This breakdown ends the interview, right? Before they can finish it. And our man's ends up in the mental hospital overnight. And then they release him the next day. So Robbie gets out, and they know this because Nico's aunt sees Robbie on Facebook and is like, hey, ring-a-ding-ding, Monica, this motherfucker's posting on Facebook. Monica's like, what? She calls the police. And they verify. They say, yeah, he's out. And she's like, well, is there anything we can do about this? Like, finish this interview? And they're like, well, no, not right now. 2 days later, Robbie's dead of an OD.
Oh, so then we don't know if it's intentional, unintentional.
We have no clue. Robbie took some of his own prescription medication and OD. I don't know what that prescription medication was. So after this is the first time that Nico officially gets listed as a missing fucking person. On the 11th. Of October.
And he's been gone since at least the 1st.
His last sighting of anybody in his family can confirm is September the 30th. Who? Robbie Knight. And Robbie Knight is now what? Dead.
And they've been literally telling the police all of this the whole time. Like, we think this is where he is. This is what's going on.
Yes. Monica is like, what the hell, right? So she prints off Nico's full contact list. And if it is a Tennessee number, she's calling it. She called, text, did whatever she could to every Franklin number on there. And one guy got back to her. She gets a call from a kid who says, yeah, I saw Nico. He came to our house and went to this like pickup soccer game with us. I remember it because my uncle broke his leg at the pickup soccer game.
Well, that's very memorable.
After the soccer game, I guess after the uncle broke his leg, they walked back to the kid's house and then Nico just left.
Did he know Nico prior to this or?
He did. He had known Nico from before. Now, this kid's house is on Flintlock Drive in Franklin, Tennessee. Flintlock Drive in Franklin, Tennessee is where Nico's last phone ping came from.
So let me ask some questions about that then. Whenever he arrived, is he in the stolen truck?
Well, we've got a couple different stories on that. When Monica first talks to this kid, he says, well, we like just drove by and picked Nico up somewhere. And then another time, after Monica has talked to him later, he says that Nico just walked to their house. So we've got some conflicting.
In either way, I'm guessing she's not feeling great about this.
No. No. She's not. Well, fast forward 5 years to July of 2016, and the New York State investigators travel to Tennessee, and New York State starts doing interviews, and there's a press conference and blah, 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 and then boom, find the truck.
So they find the truck in Tennessee.
In Nashville. Okay. In a locked private residence garage in Nashville.
And I don't know truck, who said, but Franklin and Nashville are very close.
They're very close. We're talking like 30, 40 minute right. drive, depending on what side you're going to.
There's nothing left of this truck.
It's stripped clean. We're talking, yeah. It is a frame and like a couple side panels.
And I don't think the
frame. Not even all of them. Like the doors aren't even on, if I remember. And I don't think
the frame even has color anymore. It seems
been all sanded down, stripped clean. I mean, it's been chopped.
We'll put pictures of it up.
We're talking, there's no engine. It looks like the wiring harnesses were all gone. Like, when I say it's a frame of a truck, it is a frame of a truck. There's no windshield. In no way is this truck mobile.
No.
It's not going anywhere.
The truck was found. You can tell it's an old garage, not even one that has like a roll door on it. The ones that have like kind of the old barn door.
There was another family that Monica had, you know, spoken to on the phone about Nico. And these people were like, oh, we didn't even know Nico was missing. Blah, 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 blah. Now, these are the people. This is a completely separate people from the Flintlock Drive. This is a completely separate family. They owned the property in Franklin, and they owned the property in Nashville where the truck was found.
Okay.
Their son was staying in the Nashville property, and they live in Franklin. So Monica goes down to Tennessee after New York State goes back down to Tennessee. So they're down there right at the same time. She hears they're going, and she's like, okay, bet I'm going too. So when she gets down there, Monica tries to go in and talk to the TBI herself. Now, TBI is the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. It's like
the state FBI?
Yes, the state FBI. She goes into the TBI and she's like, hey, I need somebody to help me. And they're like, not really how that works here, sweetie. Sorry, you know. And so then she goes back out. She's feeling very, very defeated. And she calls somebody from one of her missing persons groups that she's affiliated with. And she says, what do I do now? Like, they've turned me away. Where do I go? And this person says, go to the DA's office. Like, it's their jurisdiction.
The truck was found there.
In Nashville. So, right. Yeah. It's the DA's case now, basically.
Right. It's their responsibility.
Exactly.
If nothing else, this truck has shown up in your jurisdiction. So,
right.
This part of it is your problem.
Is your problem.
And he's connected to the rest of it.
Exactly.
So, in facto, he is also your problem.
Right. And the last phone ping is in Franklin. The truck is found in Nashville. The boy's here somewhere. Right.
Like, you two need to, Franklin and Nashville need to get on together and figure out what's going on right there. Because it's obviously something pointing to this area.
Right. Now, let me take a little pause and just inform y'all that I believe at this point, Robbie's dead. Robbie's dad is dead. Robbie's brother is dead. And there are two people in Tennessee related to this case that are also dead. They were involved with stripping the truck. So there's just a lot of strange coincidences surrounding this, right? So Monica's explaining all of this at the DA's office after they finally send out some investigators to talk to her. And the investigators are like, okay, let me go look. So one gets up and goes and comes back and tells Monica, I can't even find this kid in the system.
Wait, and there was supposed to be a missing person report on him from like years before at this point, correct?
Yeah. So the investigators can't even find Nico in the system, in the missing person system. Nothing. Monica is very frustrated and she leaves the DA's office and she calls the New York State investigator and he's like, no, wait, go up there and tell them that we need a meeting while we're still in town. And she's like, okay. So she goes up, she arranges this meeting, and they're going to come down to the New York State, you know, she's going to come down to their hotel room, and they're going to have a meeting. It's like, okay. Monica is present for this meeting, and she learns a lot more than she wants to. But she learns a lot, including the address where the truck was found. Now, not a whole lot has been done past this, other than the TBI has picked up the case. They have gotten involved. But the TBI, let me tell you something. You ain't gonna hear shit from them, baby. You ain't gonna hear nothing. Okay? Unless they want you to hear it. But if they are keeping something close to the chest because they think somebody's gonna run, or, you know, they're looking for a confession or something, you won't hear nothing. Okay? So this is really frustrating for Monica because she has been so involved thus far. And now that the TBI has it, they've shut her out. They've shut everybody out. Now, listen, we all know that Nico was no angel, okay? But that does not make him any less deserving of some justice or his mama of some answers.
No, because there's something bigger here, too. I feel like Nico was...
Girl, I'm glad you said it.
Like, Nico was in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's it. But, like, this many people aren't dead that know each other without something being related. Like, that's not coincidental.
Listen
like,
to me.
It's crazy.
If I had a stolen truck skeleton back here in my back fucking yard, don't you think my ass would be in jail right now? Now, the only reason I can figure that nobody is in jail for that is because the parents technically didn't live there. Then there's nobody to punish for that. Now, when Monica did go down to Tennessee, I mean, she did get to meet with the kid on Flintlock Drive, but nothing ever came of that. And that's where she got the other story of like, oh, well, we picked Nico. But the whole time she's talking to that kid, the dad is talking to him in Spanish, and the kid is only giving one word answer. And so there's no telling what the dad was instructing the kid to say. Now, there is a money order from that family, and Monica has the copy of the original one of that. Dated, signed, went to Nico, but Nico didn't have a license.
Right, so there's no way.
So how is he going to cash a money order? So there's just a lot of weird little details in this case that I don't understand how they add up to murder, but I think that there are some people in Franklin who know what happened. Because I think that Nico is out in the woods in Tennessee somewhere.
I would say.
Because if that boy was just in trouble, he would have already contacted
Nico. No, unfortunately, I don't think he's still here. I don't think he hate lied either. That.
I hate
and
that.
And I think his mom has kind of came to terms with that. And
oh, I think Monica definitely believes that Nico has passed.
I just, why, though, is what I don't understand.
I mean, Robbie is definitely involved.
I truly believe that Robbie Dyke is involved with this. I believe that the house on Flip Lock Drive has something to do with it. I'm not sure what.
But how is Robbie even connected to the Flintlock Drive house?
And only through Nico is the right. only way that I can.
So there's so many different things that make sense. And what sucks is everything makes sense, but nothing connects together.
Right.
And I feel like the only people that knew, Robbie's dad definitely knew something. Absolutely. Robbie definitely knew something. I mean, Nico didn't just fall off the face of this earth. I think Robbie did something to him and his dad helped him to clean it up or cover it up.
Yeah. I really do believe that is probably the best track.
But the reason why is infinite.
The reason why is still unknown.
That's infinite. It could be literally anything.
Yeah. And now Monica has received all kinds of calls.
Oh, and rumors.
And rumors, yeah. And theories. And Nico did this. Nico did that. Well, let's not forget that, like, Nico was with other people.
Right. And Nico was also 18 years old.
I still just can't understand how nobody in Franklin has been arrested or interrogated further. Or anything checked on.
I guess when everyone that has anything to do with it is dead, it's easy to just consider it wrapped up or not put as much effort into it.
I don't know.
I have a lot of questions for Robbie's grandparents because I don't think that they are innocent. I think they
at least know something. And
they're not innocent.
No.
No. Why else would you hide how to get in contact with Robbie and his...
Right. And especially if... He had a gun held to his head and his phone was taken and he was robbed of his fucking clothes. That seems like Robbie would be like real passionately, fuck this guy. Let me tell you what happened. Not
have a mental breakdown with
about it. Right. That's not how that works.
I don't know.
He was really a wild card. And unfortunately, he was the wild card that had all of the answers, I think.
And he took him right to the grave.
Right.
Along with his brother did the same.
Yeah, and their father.
Yeah. Now, the dad had a heart attack, and then I'm not sure how the brother died, but I'm going to guess an OD.
Well, I mean, either way, they all took something with them.
Yeah.
No matter how they died, and not to shit on them because they're all dead, but I mean, Nico's missing, so.
Yeah. Nico's still missing.
We've talked about some crazy missing person cases. And
this is truly one that, like, where I'm like, I don't know what happened.
Right.
I know who was definitely involved, but I don't know what happened.
I don't know that anybody ever will.
And I hate that for Monica.
I do too.
She deserves all of the answers.
She is such a sweetheart and she has to relive this all the time. And I hope she can find something.
And I know law enforcement does not like that lady. Because she has spoken her mind and she has made them do their damn job.
Right. Go her for doing
that. I mean, they've called her a bitch and all kinds of other shit. Right. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, she is a mama looking for her baby. And she has every right to be angry at them.
And that's completely fair because the ball has been dropped. I don't know whose fault it is. There's a lot of
what are we covering up here?
Right. Is it just everybody literally is digging their feet in and not wanting to participate with other agencies? Like, where's the ball dropped here? Where's the miscommunication? Because there is obviously one somewhere.
Yeah. There's something somewhere.
Right.
But if you guys have any, and I mean any information about Nico, what might have happened, what did happen, there is a reward, but... You can contact the TBI Cold Case Unit at 1-800-TBI-FIND. That's 1-800-TBI-FIND. F-I-N-D.
So let's get Nico found or some information about what happened to him.
Because unfortunately, I don't know if they will find him.
His mom was a hairstylist. Monica, I sincerely hope you get answers one day.
I do too.
But you deserve them.
I do too.
Even if he, you know, might have been a troublemaker, he was still, you know, somebody's son, somebody's nephew, somebody's baby.
And if any of you are in Franklin, around Nashville, know somebody in Nashville, around Franklin, send this to him. Get people talking about it. All right, guys.
Later.
Thanks.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.